Good morning, everyone. This morning, talk about the Beatitudes, the reading that we had in the Gospel. The Beatitudes, you'll see from the title, it's really a picture of God's fingerprints, of what God would look like in the person, what he looks like actually in the person of Jesus Christ, and actually living in us. There's a story I want to share with you. It reads like a story that came out of one of the 30s gangster flicks. It was a guy named William Ham Jr. And he was the president, CEO of the Theodore Ham Brewing Company. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota. So he's leaving work one day and these four shadowy guys kidnap him, put him in a car and rush him away. And they asked for a ransom of $100,000, which in 1933 would have been a lot of money. He was held for that with ransom notes. They eventually gave the money and he was released. But now enter the FBI. The FBI was just really getting deep into their crime solving, and they decided to try something that was very different, because when we touch things, like when I touch the pulpit or you touch anything, we leave behind like a salty residue. And they figured out that on these ransom notes there would have been touches and fingerprints, and if you put a substance on there, you put sodium nitrate, what's going to happen is it reacts with the perspiration to form sodium silver chloride, and you're left with prints. And they used those prints to track down these guys. They found out that they were a very well-known gang, and they went to jail as a result. So in the end, it was a good ending, and they used fingerprints to do it. Now, reason why I used fingerprints was because if you look at your fingers, I look at mine, all of us are different. None of us are the same. All of our prints are absolutely unique. And you can't change that. And not only are literal fingerprints, but figuratively as well, we leave prints. There is an impression, like first impressions. You've heard that expression that people will use. There are impressions that we leave. There are prints that we leave in this world, and we really can't change that. They're us. They're who we are. And you know, I've heard it's almost impossible to change your fingerprints. It's just simply not possible to do that. Now, some people have said that the Beatitudes that you have in your, there's an outline that I shared with you. There's also on the back of the bulletin, we read earlier in the gospel reading the Beatitudes. You can see them in your Bible. He lists all of these characters and all of these things and attitudes that people should have. We can't be that. There's no way, humanly speaking, that you and I as a human being are able to live up to that list. It's just not possible. It's not me. It's a different print. It's a different way of living, a different way of thinking. You know, it doesn't matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be able to do it. And, you know, so why should we study the Beatitudes? Well, you know, the reason why we should study the Beatitudes is the very first word that happens in verses 3 through 11. The word blessed. The word blessed is a blessed word. I don't know if you've ever heard what that means, but it means to be oh so happy. It means to be overjoyed. It's a wonderful word. It's the type of word that, you know, there's rainbows and pink ponies and everything's going well, and it's just the best of the best. It's makarios in Greek, but it just means joy, happiness, fantastic. And that's hard for people. That's really hard to find happiness in this world. It's really fleeting. Just ask a Cubs fan how hard it is to find happiness in this world. I had to get that in. You know, and it's a fleeting thing. It just doesn't last. You know, and actually we put happiness on the level of the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or a four-leaf clover. You know, but God gives this list of happiness, and he lists all of these things that happen because I am convinced this list is the person of Jesus Christ. It's who Jesus Christ is, first and foremost. It's an image of who God is living in the body of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. There's a verse from Colossians that says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, God was pleased to have all his fullness, all of himself, live in Christ. And what does that look like? It looks like this. Our Lord Christ was one of poor in spirit. He was Almighty God. He had all the rights. He had all the privileges. He had everything, but he put that second because he wanted to live as a man of no reputation, just as a humble servant. And he followed that servant path that took him all the way to the cross to pay for your sins and for my sins. And even though he was God, he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible is in John. And it's, he wept. It's about Jesus Christ. And when he was at the tomb of Lazarus and he saw the hurt and he saw the pain, it touched him so deep down in his heart and his mind. And this is the heart of God. This is important to see. This is God in the flesh. He wept. It touched him. He has feelings. He has emotions. He cares. He's meek. He's oh so meek. He hungered and thirsted after righteousness. He was merciful. You know, you measure life by these qualities that are listed. You see this beautiful picture. I'm convinced that it's a picture. It's a description of the Christian man, but it's the God-man in Jesus Christ. And you know, for some reason, when people look at the Bible, they tend to see the negative. When they look at the scriptures, they tend to emphasize all of the prohibitions and the curses and the judgments, and they leave us behind sometimes with an impression that God is he's got the personality of a dill pickle. And it's just not true. We see a very different picture of God. And the reason why we don't see God right is because we don't see him in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it is true, when Adam and Eve first sinned, they ran away from God. The reason why they ran away from God is because they were sinful. They felt guilty. They didn't feel comfortable in his presence. And that guilt makes us feel uncomfortable in God's presence. And we're not perfect. And there's times that I feel stressed. I feel weak. Because I don't measure up. I don't do the right thing. I fail. I do things that aren't good. Wish I didn't do them, but I do them. And that's who I am. And I sense that. But at the same time, I need to see the person of God in Jesus Christ. I need to see that glorious and blessed Savior. Timothy talks about, when Paul wrote the letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, Paul calls it the glorious gospel of the blessed God. God is blessed. God is blessed. You know what that means? That means God is happy. Aren't you glad that you serve a happy God? He's not some dour being up there just kind of hanging around with a bad attitude. He is overjoyed. He is stoked. He is happy. As a matter of fact, Jesus tried to communicate this to us. He says, every time somebody is poor in spirit, every time someone is poor in spirit, and poor in spirit is to be humble before God, is to need to depend on God. That's what it means. And anytime you say, Lord, I can't deal with the problems that I got to deal with today, I need your help. God listens. He hears that. And he goes, whoa, repentance, this is great. All the angels throw a party. They are partying 24/7 up there. They are just nonstop partying. They are so overjoyed. Our God is a happy God. He is blessed. That's not my words, that's the scripture's words. He is blessed. And he loves to bless us. It's a beautiful image that we need to get in our hearts and minds, and we need to just get it in us because that is the God who is in you, and he wants to shine through you. And I realize that there's times in your life, there are times in my life when my strength is limited. Our strength is always going to be limited. because we are not God. But God has come to you in the person of Jesus Christ, and he says, though your strength is not perfect, he says, I can work through that. I can bless you. You know, here's the thing to think about. There are times during your day. Do you ever get tired at the end of the day? You're working. I mean, seriously, I do. It sometimes gets to, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock, especially if you've had a busy day, had a lot of demands, and it just gets exhausting. You know, and you sense it, it's just tiring. You know, at those times, there's a verse from the Psalms that I would encourage you to kind of tuck in the back of your mind. Psalm 73, verse 26. God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Just let that roll around in your mind. And you run into a challenge. You're dealing with a difficult situation. You're dealing with a test in school. You're dealing with a bully. You're dealing with... It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is because that's life. But God does not want you to meet that life alone. That's the point. He wants us to mourn, to be humble, to come before him, to let him move through us. The way we do that is just open our hearts and minds to him. It is true, and it's a fascinating thought, that the happiest people in the world are those who yield themselves to an experience of God's grace in Christ. You know, weakness can actually be a good thing in our lives, in your life. St. Paul had some terrible weaknesses. He had one thing among us his weaknesses that was called the thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh is. But he asked God, he pleaded with God, he says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says he pleaded with God to take this away from him. It was debilitating. It was horrible. Do you have a weakness? Do you have an Achilles heel that you cannot seem to beat? You're embarrassed about it. I want to tell you how you can turn that around. Because he prayed 3 times, and each time that he prayed, God came to him and said, I'm not going to take it away. God told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And we can say that psalm to ourselves. We can say to ourselves, God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. It is a wonderful promise. Because God has actually taken up residence in you and me, and he loves it. He rejoices in that. He rejoices over you. He sings over you. He really does. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we can't find anything that he would want to sing over, anything he would want to celebrate. But he does. He just loves you in Christ. And he is a blessed God, and he wants you to be blessed, and he wants us to grow in that. And I'll say it again, it is so true. The happiest people in the world are those who yield themselves, the very first beatitude, broken in spirit. And we have a lifetime to explore this beautiful, wonderful, amazing grace of God. May he bless us. May he encourage us. You know, I think we have just scratched the surface of what it means to know his forgiveness, his grace, his compassion, his mercy, his pity. All these things are his character, and he loves to share that with us. May he shine through you, even in your weakness. He is that great, that awesome. And that beautiful to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.